Spring is in the air at Littleton Coin Company, and we want to help you brighten your collection. Visit us at littletoncoin.com all month long to enjoy 15% off your purchase. With a wide selection of coins, paper money, supplies, and more, Littleton Coin Company has something for every collector's taste. Use promo code SPRING at littletoncoin.com for 15% off your purchase all month long. Restrictions apply. Littleton Coin Company. Serving collectors since 1945.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Real quick before we start the show, just wanted to let you guys know you can get the show 2 days early by joining our Patreon. Even for a buck, you can listen to the show 2 days early. Go to patreon.com/analogtalk and we got a bunch of stuff over there. Check it out and enjoy the episode.
Hey you guys, welcome back to another episode of Analog Talk, a film photography podcast. I'm your host, Tim.
I'm Chris.
And on today's show, we have Benj Story. Hey Benj.
Hi Benj.
Hi guys, you all right?
Thank you for coming to us all the way from the UK. We appreciate it. We're excited to chat with you. But do you mind, before we get started, giving our listeners a background on who you are and how you got into photography?
Yeah, sure. So I'm Benj Story, like you guys just said. Oh, Benjamin is my full name.
Yeah.
Benjamin.
It's a good name. Yeah.
It's just a bit long for me to
say
it all the time. Yeah, I'm 24. I'm from Leeds in the UK, which is like, if you don't know England, it's the city next to Manchester is probably the best way
to
describe it. So everyone knows London.
Yep.
Manchester is probably the next most popular between the two. So it's next to Manchester. And I started photography when I was 16, 17,
wow. Yeah.
I think. But that was like, since I was 16, it's gone from being a hobby to now, like a career in that time. Something I didn't plan on doing either, so it's just kind of each day something new. But I started when I did art at school.
Yeah.
And I could like line draw is like what I can do.
Oh cool.
I do like drawings like of animals, like hyper realistic.
Oh cool
drawings of animals. So that's what I did, and I was taking so long to do my coursework for like the school projects that it would get to near the end of the year, and because I was spending like 16 hours on each piece.
Oh, wow. Whatever,
yeah.
It gets to the point where my art teacher was basically told me, like, you get graded on the entire like sketch pad.
Mm.
And the assessment was in a couple of months, like the due date, and I literally spilled like 15 pages out of this 45 page sketch pad.
Oh, wow.
Oh, man.
So he was like, do you know you can take photographs to fill the gaps?
Cool.
I was like, all right. I borrowed like the school camera and just started snapping away. And I'm like everyone I speak to who's like creative, they're quite self-critical. So with drawing, I'd finish this piece that I literally spent hours on. I'd look at it and be like, yeah. Like all I'd be able to see is like the flaws in it.
Right.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be happy with it, and the satisfaction just wasn't there because it's like I created this from scratch,
right?
And it was just like in your head, you just know that it's not perfect still. And then with photography, I was getting the satisfaction of a good draw, like a good drawing, let's say, well, like instantly.
Yeah.
And I didn't ever have any feeling of, oh, it's not finished.
Mm.
It was like the photograph is taken, I've edited it, and it's like, to me, that's finished.
Yeah,
it's
done.
Yeah.
I can't really like spot any flaws in it because it's something I've taken, and then, yeah, it is weird. Obviously, I go back to re-edit photographs, but like at the time, I was happy with what I'd made. So I ended up just taking lots of photographs for my school project. And then I ended up just really enjoying using a camera and ended up buying one for my 17th or 18th birthday. I think I bought myself a camera, which was like a Canon. I think you guys call them like the Rebel T3i,
uh-huh.
I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like mm-hmm. a 1200D or whatever they call it different in the UK. So really entry level DSLR, never shot a DSLR of it, and just fell in love with taking photographs, I guess. And then I never went to university. So by the time it was getting to the end of, so in the UK, you go to high school, you finish high school when you're 16, and then you have to stay in education until you're 18.
Mm. Oh, wow.
Whether that's you go to college or you get an apprenticeship, you have to stay in education. You can't just finish at 16 and that's it.
Right. Okay.
So what happens is most people, I don't want to like broad statement it, but most people do high school, will go to college, and then when they turn 18, they go straight to university. That's like just what happens. I wasn't studying anything that interested me enough. And I wasn't also someone who, I just didn't enjoy learning in that where I'm quite a visual person. Mm-hmm. I like to do things quite like hands-on, like with learning stuff. So like having a teacher saying, speak at me. Not to like be like a conspiracy theorist or like sound like one, but half the time I was just thinking like this teacher's telling me stuff that they only know it because they've probably read it the night before to plan the lesson.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, like I'd be asking questions and they just would be like, Google it, you know?
Yeah. Wow.
So it's just like, oh, that really put me off. And then did go to university. So I was kind of like, right, what can I do? I, alongside working as like a photographer now, but before all that, I worked in retail, super into like my fashion and stuff like that. So I just sell clothes, worked at a brand called All Saints as like a stylist there. And,
oh, cool.
Fun.
Used to work for Hollister, like places like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, Hollister.
And then alongside that, I did, or still do, I'm a parkour coach. So if you guys know what parkour or free run it is.
No way.
I do that as like a, like my part-time professional, like the only qualification I have, like a professional qualification is I'm a parkour free running coach. So
wow.
So is it, where are those videos? I wonder if we're gonna see some of that.
I can send you some. They don't make it onto my Instagram as much as they used to.
Wow.
I've got a different account for that now, but yeah. So I started like out, and I'd be one of them. I was one of them guys who like climb buildings.
Wow.
Yeah. So I used to climb these buildings, jump around on the rooftops and stuff, and I'd bring my camera and then take photographs of the skyline of like the city where I'm from, London.
Cool.
And then that started to get like a bit of traction on like Instagram. And I was like, oh, I could probably take photographs. Like it got to the point where I realized I had my camera all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you end up just mixing with the like-minded people, I guess. And all of them were older than me. So obviously I'm 24. People think I'm way older than I am.
Mm.
Yeah.
Quite a lot of the time. I had someone literally last week assume that I was 30.
Like, whoa, slow down.
I thought, like, can we?
Back it up.
Yeah, sort of rein that in a little bit. but all my peers are late 20s, really early 30s. Even some of my close friends, like 40 now. I don't really associate with many people my age.
Mm.
So, which was helpful because of the fact of like finishing sixth form college and not having a plan to go to university, I was like, I need a job now. Like,
Right.
And getting a job, obviously, without a qualification or anything like that is quite hard. So, and obviously not knowing what I wanted to do. So I started just hanging around with these people who took photographs, and then I'd end up just taking lots of photographs of stuff I liked. And it'd be like, oh, my friend. And I'd be like, oh, let's organize just going out and taking photographs of you in this hoodie. And then I'd tag it on Instagram. And then next thing you know, the brand was like, could you actually do that for us?
Oh, nice. Cool. Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, like, and that's what I didn't like. Instagram, obviously, has helped with where I'm at now quite a lot. But back then I had like 3,000 followers. Like, and that was all just off me climbing buildings. So, yeah, weird. And then it was just, oh, it's so weird to think back. But I ended up just being like, right, I'm going to commit to doing this like photography thing. Obviously, I had this Canon. I got a 50mm lens. Like the cheap 50mm.
Yeah, 50.
That was it. My kit. In fact, that lens was my professional, like, I was using that lens on like fashion campaigns up until like a few months ago.
Wow.
Killer.
Because like film photography took over and I was like shooting just film, but and like neglected my digital side for a few years. But yeah. And then I got to the point where I was like, commit. And I'm quite a proactive person. So it got to the point I was cold emailing, just like dropping pretty much every business in my local town, the next town. Pretty much every business I would want to take photographs for within a 20-mile radius, I'd emailed them. And like when you're emailing like 100 businesses, like a few reply.
Yeah.
And then it just like slowly got to the point where I was taking way, way more photographs. And I kind of burnt out. I started not enjoying photography because it was just like, I'd end up only taking photographs going on trips or holidays or when you go out with your friends, like, oh, like I want to go out and take some photographs with my friend. Quite a lot of the people you see, I might have seen in my photographs, which are like modeling, are not models. They're just my friends. And it's, we've gone out and I've been like, oh, I'd love to take some photographs of you.
Kind of.
But then I just started to not enjoy it.
And it's the worst.
Film happened. Film photography happened.
Revives everybody's soul, I feel like. When people are just like, I don't want to do it anymore. I'm over it. Film's like, wait, look how beautiful I am over here.
Yeah. Come over here.
Yeah. It was so, well, actually quite a big part of why I just kind of shifted to film is, so I'm colorblind, right?
Oh, no kidding.
Well,
no,
I'm not black and white colorblind. It's just like if it's like blue, purple, I can't tell the difference.
Right.
Red, orange, green, brown. It's all of the like, so usually people like red, green. I'm all of them, but I'm not black and white.
Wow.
So, okay.
I was getting picked up quite a bit on like my digital edits being, the colors not being quite right in the edit or something like that. Like not wrong, but just like, didn't really like look like that too much. I was like, all right, I can just
change it. That's so interesting.
Not tint it. And then I shot film for someone and I thought the colors were weird.
Yeah.
And they said nothing. So I was like, oh, we were onto something here. And it was just a way for me to like not have to worry about or if my like color blindness is affecting the work I'm putting out, because obviously films, the colors are pretty much
they're kind of ingrained.
So yeah, you could alter them, but I don't, even when I'm like editing like scans and stuff now, I don't touch the color tab. So that was refreshing. I got my first little, I actually have it somewhere, but an antique shop in Scotland, like in the Highlands, Scottish Highlands, went up for a family trip.
Wow.
This antique shop, there was a practica, some sort of practica. It was real beat up. But the woman was like, it basically laughed because she was like, she just wound it on and clicked it and she went, yeah, it works.
Yeah.
Okay. Obviously not doing anything about film. And she said, gave me two rolls of Kodak Gold. I remember that at the time.
Man, that's so cool.
She sold me this camera with a 50mm lens and two rolls of film for £25.
Nice.
Wow.
Which I was like, this is just not going to work. And then I shot it and I was like, wow. Yeah. It was bad. It was bad. But I was like, this is cool. Like, I could vibe with this. And then for a long time, I was in the mindset of film photography, the images you're going to get from it are bad. I don't know why I had that mindset, but like, I was like, it's film, it's outdated. The results are going to be outdated. Like, I had in my mind, like, a film was the equivalent of like a 2 megapixel camera in my brain.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah.
That's how like clueless I was about it. And then I started to like learn a lot more about how to expose, what I'm metering for. And I learned a lot about photography and how to shoot, like way more in the first couple of years, like, well, the first year of shooting film I did. It helped that it was locked down as well. I might add that.
Oh, so
I
started shooting film
at, like, properly through lockdown, just in the house and rather like on walks and stuff.
Yeah, no better time to learn than during that. Oof.
Yeah.
Oh god, yeah. That was it's so weird, like that whole face, it's like a blank spot. But yeah. And then slowly got into it more. Didn't really want to invest into a camera, like, because at this time I was like, still, this is not gonna be it. Like, this is a fun thing on the side, like, and then I started to watch YouTube videos. I think it was like Samuel Elkins.
Sam,
his videos back in the day were like quite film photography heavy. And I can't remember, I've like stumbled onto him. I don't really watch too much YouTube, even though I make YouTube videos myself. I like watch a few people, but I don't really like find myself in YouTube rabbit holes watching cats at 2 a.m. Like that's not me.
Wow, you just called me out right there.
I know. I was like, that's Timothy.
It's all good.
Out into the world. So sorry.
It's all good.
But he posted a video once and it shot, I think it was like a medium format or something like that. And I was like, wow, like that's not like film. Like watching videos like that, kind of like, all right, I'm going to invest in a camera. So I got a Canon A1.
Yeah.
Which,
great camera.
28mm.
Oh, yeah. Love the 28. That's what's on mine too. I have a 28 on my Canon A1.
Yes. And I was just like, the first roll I got back, I picked it up for like £120, the whole kit.
Yeah.
And the first roll I got back from that, I was like, wow. My edit, I was obviously not enjoying editing, shooting digital either, because it was just hurting my head. Cooler-wise.
Yeah, so much work. Yeah.
I got the scans in. I was like, right, so they're finished.
Yeah, exactly.
And I was like, oh, this is it. And then I started to play around with them a little bit. I was like, all right, that's taken me 30 seconds to edit this photograph to be what I'd like it to look like. Let's look into this film thing a little bit more. And then YouTube was a great help. Like, I literally just remember Googling film photography on YouTube. Then I was introduced to people like Willem and Corey, Joe Greer. Like, literally, there was everyone from America. There was no English people like shooting film, apart from George. And I was like, am I missing, like, is this just not a UK thing? Like, do you know what you think? It's just something that I was like, is this why I can't, like, if I go to, like, a camera shop, like Jessup's, it's like a main camera shop in the UK. It's like, if I go to that, is this why I can't buy film cameras there? Like, is it? Learned a lot from them. Just learned that it's not even though it is an outdated format, I, like, educated myself. I was like, it's an outdated format, but it's also a format that's been used for the last 80 years.
Yeah.
And it's been perfected by, like, scientists. Mm-hmm. So the results are, like, the best you can get from it. I was like, right, so this is it. And then I'm quite into, like, history and stuff. And obviously working, like, in fashion and being interested in fashion, I started to look down the old Vogue magazine, like, all the Patagonia photo shoots from, like, the 80s and being like, holy, like, that's shot on film, you know?
Yeah.
So then I was, like, fully hooked.
Yeah, it has its way of sticking its hooks in you and
man, it's just one thing after another. Like, you find out, like, you might only shoot portrait 400 and get to a point where you know how that works, and then be happy, like, you'll know that if this light's hitting that's how the colors might come out, and like that's how the shadows will render or whatever. And then you'll switch to Kodak, like, gold, and it's just like, oh, so this is basically like shooting a new camera.
Right. Yep. Like, yes.
It's, it's like, that's how I'd compare it to be like me shooting Canon and Sony. Like, that's like how a film stock can change how you shoot the whatever you're shooting, from what I've seen or experienced. So yeah, it's just, I'm still like getting my like toes into it. I feel I'm quite like at the surface with it.
It's endless. There's so much stuff to learn. Like, I still find that, I mean, being into it for, you know, back into it for, you know, what, 10 or 12 or however many years it's been since I've been back into shooting film. There's just, and there's so much that has kind of vanished, which is so sad. Like, just, you know, all the different filters that they would use for certain things and dark room stuff. I mean, it's just endless. And I really hope that it's archived well, where it doesn't go away forever type situation. Mm-hmm. It does scare me a little bit at times.
Yes. They had the whole dark room thing. I was actually, so in the UK, the lab I use called Take It Easy, I'm actually wearing their t-shirt.
Nice.
they're like a sister co-company in Nottingham. And in there, you can do darkroom printing. And it's a working darkroom.
Oh, yeah.
But it's a colour and black and white darkroom. They've got everything. Mm. And a few months ago, they invited me down to go and use their like services and darkroom print. And that is something that is a whole side of film photography.
Yeah.
I mean, it's 2023. Like, who does that themselves, you know? Like, I wouldn't even know where to buy any of that equipment, yet alone find it. So you'll just unlock this whole other love for shooting film, like printing it yourself and just the process of it. Like, there's so many different avenues. Like, I want to get into doing large format.
Yeah.
Just haven't had the time to even think about how I'd start doing that. Yeah. And it was just so cool to print.
I would love to see your work on large format.
Yeah, like 8x10 or something.
Yeah. It's how, like, with how lush, and I mean, your work just has such a like a it all looks like you know what I mean. You look at your Instagram and it just it all looks so good. Like, if you look at my Instagram, I'm all over the place. So it's just, yours has really got a good, you know, I would love to see that on like 8x10 or even 4x5.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I had a question, Benj. How much of your commercial work still mostly film or I mean digital, or have you kind of like brought film into that aspect of your work as well?
I have kind of brought film heavily into my like commercial stuff.
Oh, fantastic.
Especially for shooting like fashion, because brands like it. And also for me as someone who's giving them like a deliverable amount of imagery, it kind of got rid of, I used to have it where I'd be on a shoot and they see you take hundreds of photographs.
Yeah.
Then you send them 50 and they're like, wait, you took like 1,000.
Yeah.
I'm like, whereas
about that, those are crap. Here's the good ones.
Yeah. Whereas like with film, it's like they know that it's not an infinite amount.
Interesting.
And for what I've found, it's like, I mean, I'll give them everything. Like,
they can have
it all, like 37 from, I like, if you load in, or 10 from medium format. It's like, just give them all. And then it found out like, my most recent ones, sometimes if they if there was a photograph that just didn't come out, then that's just gone.
Yeah.
But I'll be sending, on average, 9 out of 10 frames from medium format to, like, a client, and they'll love them all. It's just, like, again, it comes to, like, it's finished.
Yeah.
Like, it's done, you know.
I wonder, too, if that, like, you know, for everybody else involved, like creative directors, you know, all these people, when you're like, here's your 15 images or whatever, if they're like, oh, great. Like, they also don't need to go through, you know, 60, 70
hundreds
images.
Yeah.
And obviously everyone will say like film photography slows you down.
Mm-hmm.
And the fashion work I do on medium format, I use my RB67.
Yeah.
Which is a big, like, slow camera.
It's a chunker, yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And because it's more slow, then it's, you put thought into it and you just know not when to not take the photograph. It's like the main thing. So then every photograph you are taking, because you're getting paid to do it, is like, you know, that's like, you know, that's a magazine worthy. Like, they can have that. That's going on their website. Whereas, I mean, sometimes with 30 by 5 mil, if I'm shooting that like commercially, I will just shoot stuff and I'll shoot it and I'll be like, I've rushed that. Like, they're not going to use that. But with me in format, it's like every single one's so... It could take me an hour maybe to take one frame.
Wow.
We're out, because I'll be stood, I'll get the model set, we'll be at the location, I'll be looking at the viewfinder, I'll be like, something is not right here.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And I'm quite confident in terms of, like, if I'm not happy with something, I'll say it, especially if it's me that's doing the job.
Right.
So I'm not shy of being like, yeah, I'm not taking that, you know? Like,
when you have people on set, are people... Just because I've been in situations where, like, you know, you're just shooting and shooting and shooting, and I feel like it's to appease everybody who's around, you know, and then, you know, you're showing them, here's what we got, and you're like, you know that there's like a few really like stellar ones in there, but like you had to shoot all this other stuff just so people think that you're like doing this thing, you know what I mean? I would love to be on set where you're like, this isn't it, and like just like making it perfect and like getting the shot, and like, are people, what's the energy like on set? Are people like, what's this guy doing, or are they just kind of trust you completely?
It's weird. I'm quite like laid back. I'm quite like calm person. I'm quite jokey as well, so I won't be like, this is not it.
Yeah.
I also I'd be like, yeah, guys, the vibe is not here.
Bad vibes. Yeah.
I'm like, I'm not gonna lie to you guys. I could take this photograph, you could pay for it, but you won't use it. So we'll do something else. You know, I'll be like, tell them how it is, but in a jokey way.
Yeah.
So it's like not confrontational or anything like that. And
that's cool.
It's just like, sometimes if I'm not too keen on it with the RB, I literally will let them look down the viewfinder and be like, see that there?
Yeah.
That is what it'll look like. It'll just be a little bit warmer because it's on God and gold.
Right.
You know? And they'll be like, maybe not that. But most people are quite happy with it. And like you said, Chris, about, like, you'll know, you'd like, I had it literally today. I was shooting in like a restaurant. You know, you've got your shots straight away when you sit shooting digital. Like, if you're prepared to be there if it's like by the hour, then obviously you kind of have to stay there for that time.
Right.
But if you've been paid for X amount of imagery, if you're confident you've got that imagery in like half an hour to an hour.
Right. Let me go home.
You end up just shooting to please other people and not for the job, in my opinion. So it's, film just allows me to bring, they'll pay for X amount of rolls. I'll be like, look, with this amount of rolls, you'll get this many photographs. So they know straight off the bat that's the body of work they're going to be getting. They're not seeing me take, I don't know, 5,000 photographs and fill up an SD card and then only get like four. Especially if you're shooting like tethered with a stylus. Yeah.
Chris's favorite,
like
tethered.
I hate it.
Yeah. Oh, I hate it as well, because you'll shoot tethered and then there'll be someone, like a stylist, he'll see one shot and they'll take a photograph of it on their phone, of the screen. You'll deliver the images to them and they'll be like, hold on a minute, that one I like, not there. And you're like, well.
Like, which one was it? Now you have to like go figure it. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, films, I don't know. I'm quite picky and choosy with who I work for as well.
Sure.
So
yeah.
I don't just like work for anyone and turn quite a few things down because I just know that they're going to be a bit pushy, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like my shoots, when I'm doing portraits, commercial stuff, like fashion campaigns, I'm like, you know, this is it. We'll get it, you know, just relax.
Yeah.
It's just trusted people to do the jobs, I think.
I feel like the industry's changing in that way a little bit too. Like, a lot of people are being like, this is the way we're going to do it now. And they're like, oh, okay. Like, there's no tether. You're going to get the images sent to you, presented nicely, and then you could do whatever.
Yeah.
Kind of changing the game.
I was shooting tethered in a studio. They insisted I was like plugged in. And I ended up being like, I stuck back and looked. Only other person who was there was like the makeup artist at that point. Everyone else who was involved had gone. So I was like, why do I need to?
Yeah.
I literally have just seen the photograph I've taken through the eyepiece. Right. Why do I need to see it again on a MacBook?
Right.
So I was like, yeah, right. Unplug it.
Yeah, get out of here.
We're done.
Yeah. Don't like to be attached to a laptop. God.
So how did you get into medium format? What prompted that? Was it just kind of trial and error or?
It was just a whim. So I was shooting the Canon A1 35mm.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went into the camera store and I had a Yashica Matte, like 124G.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that looks cool. Like that, if you were to, before I started shooting film, if you were to show me a picture, I'll say like draw a film camera, it would have been
So
I was like, oh my God, as if they still exist. Because to me, that was like a museum piece.
Yeah. Ancient.
You know?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was fully showing like my youth here. I was like, that's a bit too old. Shot it and I was like, wow, the detail on this. And how, I don't even know if it's true, but I just felt like it was metering different 35 as well. And how it was just, how the fall off of the focus was just, just really
beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just nice. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It made me think that 35mm was a bit clinical and sharp.
Mm-hmm.
And like with, I think the lowest it was would stop down was like 3.5, which like most digital photographers are like 1.8.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah. 1.2, 1.4.
Yeah. Whereas
Boca.
Yeah, I was like, oh, this camera shoots F4, so we'll bro with it. So I got into that and then quickly fell out of love with square format. And just
interesting.
It's not a pleasing thing to look at. Obviously this is a podcast, but I'm looking at you guys now. Like, if you guys were in squares,
yeah.
Like, how less pleasing would that be to look at? So, I was like, right. And I also just thought, like, I think there's a 90mm on that lens. I think that's something like that. It's built in. I just felt like I was missing stuff out of my frame, and I was shooting it not in landscapes. I didn't shoot landscapes a bit. I was just shooting it in my area, and the 28mm like wide. And I love that. I was like, this is a bit like. I felt like I was wasting film on images where it was too tight.
Yeah. Yeah. When you're not seeing it. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I was like, right. back to the camera store. And they literally just got an RB67 in. So I like held it and I was like, what the hell is this? Like, why would you want this? Like, what's it for? And the guy was like, oh, it's an old studio camera. Like, these things belong on a tripod. I was like, interesting. Went home, researched it, and I'm like, oh, this is cool. And then I think I stumbled on, I think it was Willem or someone did like a video one, and he was just cutting around, I think it was like somewhere in New York. And I was like, this guy's in the streets of this like studio thing. This is cool. eBay, went on. It was like still, it was like triple X, like mint, excellent condition from Japan. Oh yeah,
I love their little A++++5.
Yeah.
I was like, seems legit. So I bought it. It was actually perfect. I still use it now.
Nice.
Amazing.
And yeah, then 6x7 just took it over. But then, obviously, for like my landscape stuff, like I've carried my Mamiya like halfway up Mont Blanc. Like,
yeah.
Up mountains.
That's...
It's just like... horrific. So I recently, just before Christmas, picked up the Mamiya 7.
Oh, sweet. Yeah. There you go.
A little more compact.
So I am the landscape photographer now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Myself is complete.
I was talking to Timothy before we hopped on, like your work is, you know, the commercial work and the landscape photography, but both are, you know, obviously amazing and stunning, but that your landscape stuff really pulls you in.
Yeah, it does.
Is that what you feel gets the most joy for you or?
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, you can almost kind of tell.
Like my first, so I don't know how you guys know the UK. I live quite close to the Yorkshire Dales, which is like a national park here. And in there, we've got, I want to call them mountains, big hills, let's say, like waterfalls, forests, just massive like rolling landscapes.
Yeah.
The classic like English landscape that like you guys might think.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, I'm not even kidding, 15 minutes drive from where I am.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah.
The dream.
So when I got into shoot like photography back when I was 16, 17, I was going out to these places to photograph them. And it was what I started to photograph first. Like I'd go on dedicated trips to take photographs in the Yorkshire Dales.
Mm.
So my like early love and understanding of how to work a camera came from shooting landscapes. And then it's kind of gone into more like portraits. And then in the last couple of years, it's gone back to landscapes and I'm really enjoying it. Where I'm at the minute, just be able to travel again.
Mm-hmm. And Yeah.
Like, obviously, like I'm a bit older now, so I can travel more confidently by myself. And
right.
Yes. Just landscapes are the way. You know, I just like the mountains, especially like I love the environment. Being up there, like not just obviously it's a beautiful place that you're seeing, mm-hmm. but the atmosphere of like the people in these places.
Mm.
It's just like tenfold better than what you're going to see from
wow.
Like every like you walk past the wall of the trail, they're going to say hi to you. And if you've mm-hmm. got a camera out, they're going to be like, "Oh, what are you shooting?" Or like they'll be like, "Oh, I'm using like a whatever." It was like, "Oh, cool." And then especially now we're shooting film, like you just get stopped on the trails. You have like conversations with like all these experienced alpine hikers who I'm like, oh, as if I had that camera like 30 years ago. Like, what the hell is it doing up here? And you're like, yeah, it still works, you know?
So how do you weave that in? Is that more personal work driven or are you weaving that into, you know, your commercial work as well? Like how does that work?
Yeah, so landscapes is, it's helped me a lot with like getting travel related work.
Okay.
So I did a job in 2021 with Olympus. They sent us to Iceland for 10 days to use their Micro Four Thirds, whatever it is, like their camera, and do landscape images where they stitch. It's like it takes 50 photographs and then stitches them together.
Yeah, I remember that.
So I was doing that with them. And some of my friends was there as well. Like we were doing it all group work thing. And then recently last year we did Madeira, went to visit Madeira, so like the Portugal Tourism Board sent us out there. And on that trip I was, my deliverables were 90% film on that one.
Amazing.
Which was I was like I don't know, I had these pinch myself moments all the time.
That's such a win.
So I was in the Dolomites 2 weeks ago and we were hiking on these trails. And we all just stopped and we just stood there like, as if this is where we are.
We're like, whoa.
And film helps that. Film's all great. We were all shooting film. We didn't, like, when I'm out hiking, my phone isn't in my pocket. It's at the bottom of my back. Like, as far as I can get.
I love it.
And then we all just stood there. Like, there was no phones. Just like film cameras, but obviously you're not going to be sat looking at the back of your screen on them.
Right.
And we were just stood there just taking in this landscape and this just, without sounding like a hippie, just like living almost.
Yes. I love it.
And it's just such, that's what I enjoy most when I do the landscapes is that feeling. And obviously when you get back, get your film back, you're like, oh, I've got some good photographs from it. But it's more the feeling of just being out there and in them places, which is what drives me to go there. And I think the photographs are a bit of a byproduct from that, like, high I get from being just disconnected.
Amazing.
I mean, that's the dream. That's the dream right there. Man.
Yeah. And it was until Threads.
Yeah, I know, Threads. I know, man.
And I'm glued to my foot.
Uh-huh. I know, me too. Jeez.
God.
So I thought they weren't rolling that out for the UK. I guess they are, so.
Apparently. It's not in Europe, though.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
So it's just the UK, I think, and the US at the moment.
Oh, cool. Well, good.
But it's,
well, not good, but good, you know.
Yeah, it's been crazy. Like, I didn't realize that your Instagram following Like, it automatically follows people.
Yep.
Like, yeah. I didn't realize they're connected. So.
I don't think I put that setting. I need to go back
See,
and figure that
perfect.
Out.
That was perfect. They did that perfectly with that.
I think
how
that's
they
a
that
smart
out.
Idea, and I didn't realize that. I think I just kind of X'd out of it. I don't know why.
So I'm just like, I had to turn all the applications off of Fred because it was just like, everyone was downloading
it. Yeah, pop.
Yeah, any one of the people who follow me on Instagram, if they've downloaded Fred, they've instantly followed me on that. I'm like, just getting like hounded by it.
Yeah.
Yep.
All these notifications. I'm just like, right, let's just, it actually froze yesterday. I was like, let's turn this off.
So what do you think? Do you think it's going to take off? Do you think it's going to be something? Or do you think it's just going to be 2 weeks and we're going to be bored with it?
We'll see. You never know with these social medias that pop up.
I think it could be, I mean, Twitter's gone. No,
yeah, I agree.
I don't have
I agree.
Social media. I don't have Facebook. I don't have Twitter. I don't have Snapchat. I'm not like I have Instagram.
Yep.
And LinkedIn. That is it.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you count LinkedIn
threads.
As social media. And I've got Threads. And from what I could tell, I feel like it could be a new something I'm putting a bit of time into because I missed the TikTok thing.
Okay.
So I don't want to be caught out. Because I'm trying to say obviously, but my Instagram is growing and like I'm making YouTube videos. I want to keep pushing in that direction. So I don't want to miss like the TikTok trend or the hype of TikTok.
Yep.
Because everyone I know who got on TikTok at the start, like some of them do it as a job now.
Yep.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And then Thread, because it's linked to Instagram, it's just going to be one of them. And I've already seen results coming through on my like Instagram. So like my following yesterday actually jumped up quite a bit compared to what it would usually like an average day of growth, let's say. I gained an extra like maybe 100 followers yesterday. Which I could guarantee was all through
Threads. Yeah.
Threads.
Yeah. I am excited to share the photos on there. Kind of like when Twitter was fun for me, it was when like there was like a little photo community there, which I feel like everybody's kind of stopped posting photos there too.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, from what I can tell, they kind of maybe like thought about like photos need to be better here than they are on Twitter, you know? So the photos that I've seen look so good. I'm like, all right, maybe I'll still post some work over here.
Yeah. So, I mean, they don't crop it on Threads.
Yeah.
So
that's all we ask for. Don't crop our photos.
Yeah. I got a lot of work which has not seen the light of day on Instagram.
Same.
It's not going to fit my Instagram, like you said before. You
100%.
See it, it all looks
cohesive. Yeah.
It's not going to fit on there. It's not got a home for it. So it's going to be a nice place. It's dumb.
See, and I miss that. I miss that too because, you know, I always kind of used Instagram as like a portfolio or, you know, just to show my work. I never really expressed any words in the boxes. You know, I might explain what I shot it on or, you know, a song lyric or something or, you know, how we do Instagram. And then I really enjoyed Twitter because you can, you know, make a funny joke. You can let something out that you've been holding in. You know, Twitter was a cool space to kind of diary or word vomit or whatever the word is. And, you know, now that's how I feel with this. I feel like I don't have to worry so much of like collating my work, like making sure that every photo is my best photo. I can, you know, kind of use it as a little diary again and keep Instagram as much as I don't really use. I mean, I still go on Instagram and look at stuff, but I don't post on there anymore just because the algorithm stuff changed so much that nothing was being seen by, I felt like, anybody anymore. So it was, I don't know. I don't know. I'm interested to see what Threads does.
That's like what it becomes, I think. Because my Instagram, like, I think I've got like just over 30,000 followers on there now. That's not me, you know? Like, it's a social media, but that isn't me on there.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it is. Like, it's my work, but none of the people will know what my personality is like. None of them will know even really what my face is like. And then this year was one of my actual goals to make my Instagram a bit more like personal.
Oh, okay.
So it's not just because I didn't like how people were just like knowing me for like the photograph. Like the main one was like, oh, like I took a picture of a Highland cow, which
it's a beautiful shot too.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But like Kodak shared it and I had messages being like, literally messages. I mean, they're not the nicest. It'd be like, when are you posting more? Are you going to post more Highland cows? I'm only here for the Highland cows. I'm like, I am way more than a cow photographer. Yeah. Like, there's actually a person here. So
yeah, interesting.
I started to do that. I started to show my face on it a bit more. And now this threads is like, I keep my opinions to myself. I wouldn't share them on there.
Yeah,
anyway, right. But I will joke on there. I can joke. Like, I was joking with Corey and Joe yesterday about who would win in a bare knuckle fight between Will and Joe. Like,
yeah.
And like, that's the sort of stuff where if you were to put that on Twitter or whatever, that'd be like, people wouldn't see that. That's a funny side, I don't think.
Yeah. Right, like, right.
Or like, on Instagram, I wouldn't be able to just write that in a comment, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's funny. Being myself a little bit more.
It always reminds me of Alex Soth. He, I think it's in his Magnum course, he talks about that he had gained some success early in his career with shooting sheep photos, of like shooting all these photographs of sheep. And he was like, I didn't want to be the sheep guy. So I had to like, you know, I had to change my trajectory.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. I am saying that, but I posted the Highland cow photograph on Threads today. So I was like, this needs to be on here as well, just so people, like, I don't know, if people get lost on the way, like, they know that I'm that guy.
Yes.
I'm the cow guy.
I'm the cow guy, but I also don't want to be him. So.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Just have to accept it sometimes.
I was going to say one more question before we break off to our listener question part. How did you get involved with like a UK and all that stuff?
Timothy, you read my mind. That was the question I wanted to ask.
I love seeing that on your Instagram, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is weird. So film photography wise, it was not, I felt like I went into it a bit too fast. So I planned to go to Iceland. So I've been to Iceland 3 times, but I feel like I've said this.
Jealous.
I went back in. In 2019, like the winter before COVID, I did like a solo travel trip. I think I spent like a month in California, and went up to Banff in Canada, New York, went to Iceland. And then 2021, it was weird. I went to Iceland back to back. So me and my girlfriend at the time, we wanted to come to the States, but your travel restriction hadn't lifted yet. And Iceland was a green country, which is like, you could travel to there as long as you'd had a test or whatever. And so I was like, all right, we'll go there. This is cool. And by that point, I was really heavily shooting film. I had my A1 and my Mamiya's Abbey. But my A1 had this thing where the A1 cough.
Yes.
Shutter.
Yeah, the shutter squeal.
Yeah, mine has it right now.
The shutter squeal and just... if it was cold, some things just won't work. Stereotypical, like, UK, like, it was cold at the time. So it just wasn't working. And I hadn't really heard much about Leicas or what they were. But I researched into it briefly. It was like, this camera's known for its durability. And it's a camera that very rarely will break unless there's, like, a catastrophic failure. It's going to sound so bad. Didn't have enough money to buy it, but I wanted it that much that I was like, to my parents, I was like, this can be my birthday Christmas present for the next 5 years.
Smart.
Can I also, but I was also like, can I also use your credit card to buy it? And to be fair, I did end up paying them off and buying it outright.
Man, some awesome parents.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was it was like, I don't even think, I think it was like a part of a bank loan. So like they paid off some of their bank loan. I was like, you may as well just put it on that same loan. So I was like, all right, cool.
Great.
So I was very lucky. My parents have been really supportive in terms of that. I got the Voigtlander 28mm for it. And was like, this is going to be my camera for this trip. Used it in Iceland, didn't have any issues with it. And then at that point, I don't even think I followed Leica on anything. Got back, started posting my work on Instagram, tagged Leica in the captions and stuff like that. And then, they just started sharing my work. And then it got to the point where last year, on average, I featured on their page pretty much it averaged once a month.
Oh, wow.
And then Big Leica, whoever they are, like a camera on Instagram. I was scrolling through the stories one day, and I was like, oh, like, that's my photograph. Like a camera have shared it on the story. Because when they share story things, they don't tag people. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's just like they put the photograph on there. It's like, oh my God, that's mine. So I message them and be like, thanks for sharing it. And then got a few, an email correspondence. And I was on the main page on their Instagram, which is like the biggest audience I'd ever seen, had my work.
Yeah. Wow.
And then after that, it was like in Japan, like a Korea, it was like a domino effect with them. So if you get shared by one, all of them use the same pool of content, you could say. Mm-hmm. And then, UK have just been, our relationship has grown quite a lot since that of the last year. So I can, will give me a lens to use. If I ask nicely, I'd be like, oh, I'm going to the Dolomites, for example. Do you have any spare kit lying around? And they're like, oh, yeah, we've got this lens. Do you want to borrow it for the week? I'm like, yeah, cool.
God.
Because I still shoot on the Voigtland at 28mm.
Great lens.
I don't have the finances to be able to afford to buy a glass.
Me either.
Not many people do, to be fair, but they're really supportive in helping me with that. And in fact, when I went to Madeira, they gave me the M11.
Oh, sweet.
Which was crazy. I was like, didn't expect that. And it was really cool because for them, they get to see an M6, M11, digital film comparison work shot on that. So it is kind of like a relationship now where they get imagery and I get to use
some gear.
Stuff.
Yeah, it's amazing.
That's great.
Yeah, they're really, really kind. Yeah, it's weird. I don't know.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, that's a great crew to have in your arsenal if needed, when needed.
Totally. Yeah, the Leica stuff, really. I could own my film photography following and kind of name to Leica.
Wow.
Without their support and them putting my work out there.
Yeah.
That's the reason Kodak and Fujifilm is because they'll have seen it on Leica's thing. And Life magazine follow me. And they have said
that's huge.
They saw me through. Yeah, and I was like, what the hell?
Yeah. So weird.
Again, it's weird. But then again, they were like, oh, we saw you through Leica's stuff. So cool. It's like, man, not nice. Just, I don't know. It's like,
Leica doing it again. They're always doing it.
They're doing it. They're just such a supportive brand.
Yes.
To me, anyway. I mean, I don't know any other camera companies that are that supportive. I shot Canon. I shoot Canon still for all of my commercial stuff. I have never even messaged or spoke to anyone who works at Canon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause they're they're just reach is too big. Too many people are shooting Canon to where they could even imagine being responsible, find some people in the community to have relationships with. It's where do I start, you know?
Yeah, and I think with UK, obviously I'm quite young, and that might be a benefit to me to have they might see it as a good market employer.
Sure.
Younger and it's a different audience that I'm probably connecting with.
For sure.
You'll get some more
and
eyes
obviously,
on
like, in the UK, there's not many film photographers that I like. I mean, there's a lot, but there's not that, I don't know, shooting with Leica or going to the Dolomites to shoot it. It's quite, there's loads of film photographers in the UK, but they're all quite a student-y level, point and shoots and stuff like that. There's not many people that are, off what I can tell anyway, doing it at a commercial level.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think they're aware of that as well. But yeah, it's interesting. Just see what happens with it, really. I don't really it came out of, it's one of those things, it came out of nowhere and it could quite easily just disappear out of the same way it came in. So I'm just riding with it and I'd swear by my Leica because it's just helped me so much.
Love it.
That's awesome. Yeah, I was just curious on how that all came together.
Randomly.
That's life though, man. It's so crazy.
We'll be right back with the listener question for Benj right after this message from our sponsor.
Spring is in the air at Littleton Coin Company, and we want to help you brighten your collection. Visit us at littletoncoin.com all month long to enjoy 15% off your purchase. With a wide selection of coins, paper money, supplies, and more, Littleton Coin Company has something for every collector's taste. Use promo code SPRING at littletoncoin.com for 15% off your purchase all month long. Restrictions apply. Littleton Coin Company. Serving collectors since 1945.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Just wanted to pop in here quick and let you guys know about our Patreon-only Develop and Hang Nights. Now, we've done a bunch of these already. They're a ton of fun. We talk shop. We develop some film. We laugh. We also try to get a former guest for these. So if that sounds like something you're interested in, head over to patreon.com/analogtalk. Best way to support the show, guys. Thank you.
All right, guys, this is the part of the show where we take a question from one of our listeners. And this week's question comes from Born Rival, friends of the show, and they ask, what are some things outside of photography that help inform your aesthetic? This is a good one. I want to know.
Yeah, I like this.
That is such a good question. Oh, wow. Fashion, I would say.
Cool.
It's a massive influence. I've worked in fashion since I was, 16, whether it was like selling clothes. My mum works in fashion.
Oh, wow.
It's like
she was in your blood.
Yeah, she was a fashion buyer. So I think a lot of the inspiration for what I like has come through, not necessarily fashion, but just style. If we're going to like cover it. So like I'm really into architecture.
Oh, cool.
And just, like, things like that just look nice, probably the main things. But yeah, I think it's just fashion, I'd say, is the only thing that helps create like my aesthetic. Try to think of where I get other inspiration from, but it's just media, like music videos, I guess.
Yeah, that's cool.
For any creative things, I always go back to the music videos I've seen, because to me, like a music video is one of the most premium forms of something creative, because they get given a budget and they're like, you can be as creative as you want with this. And in terms of like, it's usually older music videos, but I always think they're like ahead of their time in terms of what they're doing. So like you'll see CGI and elements like that in a music video before you'll see it in the newest Marvel film, because that's where they test them to see if they work.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
I didn't even think of that. Yeah.
So like all the like AI, like floating heads and stuff like that have people talking. Like, you'd be seeing that in music videos like 2-3 years ago, and then you'll see it in a film that comes out this year or whatever. Yeah. So I use them quite a lot. But yeah, just fashion, just being into it. And I'm really minimal as well. I guess that kind of helps in terms of what I own. I literally own my cameras and my laptop is like my only possessions I really care about. My passport probably as well.
So right.
Go places.
One. Yep, yep.
Mm-hmm. And just being quite, I don't know, like even with clothing as well, like I have a one in, one out policy. If I buy something new, like a new t-shirt, something has to go.
Oh,
like,
that's a great policy. I wish I...
charity. Yeah, yeah. I do like send it, like give it to charity or try like sell it if I can't, if it's something a bit more like expensive or whatever. But I think fashion as its own thing can be so much, like you could put a coffee on a table and it look nice and people will be like, that looks fashionable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Even though it's not fashion, it's not clothing.
Yeah.
It just has that look, which is why I just usually just say style. Like it has the style fashion thing, which, yeah.
No. Do you use Pinterest at all? I would love to see like your Pinterest boards.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, I don't.
Pinterest, you'll get lost in Pinterest just like collecting. Yeah. Like I do that with like spaces, like bedrooms or kitchens or.
Yeah, I have looked into it, but it just was. I feel like you get lost in like copying.
Mm-hmm.
With stuff like Pinterest. Because you'll see it and you're like, oh, I'm just going to do that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's true.
I use the... I actually don't really use anything, which is kind of weird. And it's like, I don't actively search for inspiration. I'll just see it.
That's cool.
And be like, oh, that's a cool element. And combine it. Quite a lot of it actually will be like paintings, which is weird. I'll just take things from different medias and like oh, that's cool.
Or yeah. Like, yeah, I like that.
Even just like TV, like there's a shot in the new Lord of the Rings, like Amazon. Was it Amazon Prime?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There was like a shot in there where there were like hobbits walking through this like field. There's a really nice like leading line, which none of it's real.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, imagine if that had a mountain behind it. Like,
yeah.
That would be a cool composition to work with. So that's where I'd like store that in the back of my head for future. Yeah,
yeah. It's a good answer, though.
But. Yeah, no. It's funny because like it probably feels like that, but it totally makes sense. And I'm sure our listeners are gonna be like, "Yeah, no, I get it."
No, it's clicking. It's clicking with me.
Yeah, totally.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, give them the tough question.
We'll give you the tough questions. Okay, this is a two-parter. Two-parter. Yeah. What is your absolute favorite camera? Your desert island camera. You can't live without it. What would it be, and why?
It'd have to be the M6.
Okay.
Which I feel
like it's such a bad answer, but
no,
it's a good answer.
It's the only camera I've ever used where I've not actually felt like it's in the way or an inconvenience to have it with me. Like I'm going to London next week, and literally, like part of the things I am packing is my M6 because I'll just be wearing it as part of my outfit, you could say.
Yeah, it's an accessory. It totally is.
Yeah. And because you just never know what you're going to see. And I like that ability to just have it. Whereas even the Canon A1, which is a similar size camera, it's more the fact of like the rangefinder system on the M6. Mm-hmm. Like it's to the side of my face. I'm not like.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The camera,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And obviously, when you're out with your friends, the last thing you want to be doing is standing there with this brick in front of your face, separated from the moment. With the M6, a little rangefinder, it's like half your face is gone, but you can still, if you're talking to someone, if you have your other eye open, you can still be looking at them or whatever, you know?
Totally.
But yeah, I don't know if it is. Yeah, M6, without a doubt.
Good answer.
Legendary camera. Mm-hmm. Yep, good answer.
Yeah, if it's the only camera where if it broke now, I would go and buy a new one straight away.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or I would find the money to buy one.
Like,
yeah.
I'd sell my Mamiya 7 to get another M6.
Oh, wow.
Damn.
It broke. Yeah.
Yeah. I get that. I do.
Yeah.
I totally get that.
Part two is, Are there any cameras that you are lusting after? Any white whales, like something you have dreaming of and can't get yet, but you're like, someday?
I do. This is, I mean, it's analog podcast, but it's my answer is not an analog camera.
That's okay.
It's actually, I'd love to get into the Leica digital system, the SL system.
Okay.
Oh, the SL, cool.
Just because of the color profile on it.
Yeah.
And how it felt. One of my friends, Adam, who's a fashion photographer in New York, I went and visited and he let me use his. It sparked that same joy in photography.
Mm. Oh, great.
Using that as my M6 did, or my Canon A1 did when I started to shoot film. Just how it felt, how it... God, it's so weird. When you, if you get it, you've used it, but when you shoot, the camera like pulses. And it's almost like it's almost like it's a living
thing.
And the images he got off it, like, and like I got off it when I used his straight out of camera, I was as satisfied as I would be just getting film scans back.
Wow.
Color profile wise, because you can do a lot in camera. So it'd be one of those ones where I'd have to get someone to help me set up the color profile on it. But I feel like if I got it set up, it's, I won't have to ever change it again. And I'd be comfortable using it. But yeah.
Okay.
SL2.
Like the digital stuff is so good. And I definitely, I mean, I'd even take like an M10, you know, give me something old.
Yeah.
Just to play with.
Yeah. I mean, even like M10, M11, it's just insane. That Dan Baker who asked that question, she was commercially on an M11.
Oh, nice.
Like shooting just like actual like TV adverts and proper commercials on a rangefinder, nice. Which is just blows my mind that he does that. But
that's amazing.
Crazy.
Love it.
Good answers. Timothy, anything else?
No, I think that was great.
Yeah, this has been, thank you for ending your day with us, Benj. This has been fantastic. Yeah. we're excited to see where the rest of your career goes.
100%.
It's really good stuff. So where can everybody check you out on Instagram and now on Threads? Where are you on social? Where can people find you?
My username is just benj.story on everything, I think.
Amazing.
Well, I'll say everything on Instagram and now for Threads. So, or on YouTube as well. Sorry, I should slide that one in there.
Yeah,
that's it.
Awesome. Timothy, where are you?
Guys, I'm on Instagram and Threads. I'm not plugging Twitter anymore. I'm done with it. well, for now, for 2 weeks, and then I'll be back on Twitter. But it's at Timothy Makeups for both of those. I also have some YouTube stuff. Easiest way to find that, go to the search bar, type in Timothy Makeups. You'll find a bunch of my stuff there, timothymakeups.com. Chris, where are you?
So I am Crispy Photo on still all the things. You know, just... That's it. You know where we are. Threads, Twitter, YouTube, all the socials. Analog Talk Pod on Twitter, Analog Talk Podcast on Instagram. And I haven't set up the Threads yet, but we'll probably be doing that
today. We'll be there.
By the time you hear this, we'll be on Threads too.
Yep.
Yeah. Benj, thank you again. Yeah. This has been great.
Thank you, Father Ben.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, guys. We'll see you next time. Bye.
All right, guys, that's it for the episode. First off, Chris and I would like to thank Benj for coming on the show. Benj, it was great getting to meet you, getting to chat, getting to talk all about your work and your photography, just getting to nerd out. It's our favorite thing in the world to do. And Benj, thanks so much for carving the time to hang out with us. Thank you. Guys, that's going to take us to Patreon. For only $1, you can get the show 2 days early. We also have our Patreon-only develop and hang nights. We have a bunch of stuff in the archive, and like we always say, Patreon is the best way to support the show. For the patrons who already support the show, guys, we do not know what we would do without you. Thank you so much. Again, Benj, thanks for taking the time to hang out with us. Guys, we will see you next week with an all-new episode. Keep shooting. We love you. Later.
Spring is in the air at Littleton Coin Company, and we want to help you brighten your collection. Visit us at littletoncoin.com all month long to enjoy 15% off your purchase. With a wide selection of coins, paper money, supplies, and more, Littleton Coin Company has something for every collector's taste. Use promo code SPRING at littletoncoin.com for 15% off your purchase all month long. Restrictions apply. Littleton Coin Company, serving collectors since 1945.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.